Hallelujah. I want us tonight, before we enter into the Word of the Lord, I want us to sing one song together, a verse and a chorus. It's page one in your book, but I think you all know it. But it's just the way I'm feeling tonight in all this. I love to tell, hallelujah, how Jesus saved my soul. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together, if you would, please.
I love to tell how Jesus saved my soul when I was lost and facing dark despair. But mortal tongue could never tell the
preaching a few weeks ago, and I don't even know what it was I was preaching about, but somewhere in it, it just came good. I bragged on my wife, and I talked about being in love with her almost 16 years ago, and I went on, I said, and I love her more tonight than I did the night we got married. And I talked a little bit, and I meant it. I don't usually get up, you know, I have four kids, but a lot of preachers have two kids, but you know, I don't always, I'm proud of my family like anybody else. I usually just don't say a lot about it. But afterwards, the men of the church, we were all going out somewhere to eat, and they all were accusing me, saying that now I backed them in a corner, they were all going to have to go out and buy flowers or do something. He said, that wasn't fair. They said, you have the privilege, you can do all that up front. I offered it to any one of them, and I didn't have any takers. But anyway, I want my wife to sing tonight. And just, again, worship God with her, she said. Hallelujah.
First of all, happy birthday, Mom. I didn't get to tell her that all day, so I wanted to tell her happy birthday. I love the Lord tonight, and it's a privilege to be here, and I've looked forward to it. I've come home. Arkadelphia is wonderful. I've had a great life, and I want to go back, but I'm home tonight, and I love what I feel. It feels like the Apostolic Church. We tried to sing today a song, what was it? Bowed down on my knees and cried holy. And I did every part. Everybody just looked at me. I said, if that would have been at home, at the Apostolic Church, I said, they'd have just taken off with it. And I missed that part because there's no one that can sing like the Apostolic Church. It's proven to be a fact. I'm going to sing an old song, Touching Jesus, and that's the way I feel tonight, because when we touch Him, every need is supplied, and if you want to reach out and touch the Lord, just do it right now as we sing this song. Words through her pain.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. If you would stand with me just for a moment. Little Joe, if I just turn this, both buttons on. Okay. I'm going to be reading from, am I on? I'm off. I don't know what I need. I'm not something. Got it. Power on and mute off and nothing on. One, two, I'm on. See, it wasn't all my fault, partly my fault, but... all right, I'm going to be reading from Matthew tonight, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I want to read two verses of Scripture found there. Verse 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Over the course of years, every message that you have heard, really I guess even every song that you've ever heard sung in church, and carried on even a little more so, every testimony you've heard, has all been a direct touch of God to try to just keep us walking with God. And when I consider all that God will do in an effort to keep me, it has a way of humbling me. How many times have you come into a service not ready to give up on God, but you were weak? You may have been cold in the Lord. But you walk into the service and when you leave, you're saying, man, I got what I needed tonight. The way I look at it, if God loves me enough to say, hey, preacher, I want you to preach something that you don't even know why you're preaching it, but I want to stir a life, and as far as this guy is concerned, I'm saying, God, thank you for loving me enough. I'm telling you tonight, from my heart, whatever it takes for me to be saved, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 5 and 6. In the parable of the sower, it said some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Scripture said, Jesus saying, the stony place, seed fell, but there was not much earth. And because there was no deepness of earth, they sprang up quickly. But when the sun came up, they were scorched and they withered away. You do not have to turn, but I want to read one verse in 2 Kings verse chapter 5, verse 17. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burdened of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And tonight, only with the help of God, am I going to preach what I feel from the Lord, and that is on this subject, needed deeper soil. Needed deeper soil. Everyone in this building tonight that has the desire that I've been expressing, I want to be saved. I want you, if you would, to pray and ask God. And I mean this tonight. I want you to ask God to help the Word be preached exactly the way God wants it to. From my heart, I'm asking you that tonight. Would you, our God? Jesus, I love you tonight. I thank you tonight, God, for a church that loves you. God, I thank you for what you've done in our lives and how you have helped us and how you have kept us, God. In the name of the Lord, I ask you tonight to talk to hearts through your Word. I ask you, God, to deal. I ask you, God, to move and have your way, Lord. God, we are so, so desiring and so in need, Lord, of your touch and of your love. We pray, Lord, move on us. In the name of the Lord, I ask it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. There can be a lot of good that's spoken from the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow seed. There can be a lot of good that is expressed about the fact that when it finds good ground, it brings forth a hundredfold. And that's beautiful tonight. And every one of us desire to be in that condition or that category. But what Jesus is expressing here in this parable, He is talking about not just a growth or a producing, but He's talking about a loss. Much of what He deals with, there is a loss. Now, it is one thing tonight for us to say, I one time had an experience of the Holy Ghost. And one time I knew what it was to speak in tongues. But for some reason, somewhere along the line, I lost it. And I want to say tonight, and this is not going to be a negative message, believe me, but I must say that I know Arkadelphia has literally hundreds of people who one time had what I have. And they walk around Arkadelphia, and I talk to them many times on a daily basis. I see them, and they know what it's really all about. It is one thing to say, I had it, but I lost it. But then what I want to say with that, what good is it to acknowledge I spoke in tongues once, I felt God once, I know what it is to have the power of God surge through me. I know what it is to see miracles and healings and to see the move of God transform a life. I know what it is to see people brought from the despair of sin and see the touch of God in their life. But for some reason, I don't care what the excuse or what the reason, but for some reason, they lose or I lose what I had at the beginning. Then I'm asking you, what good was it for me to even begin it? What good was it to even start? My personal feeling, I think when God fills us with His Spirit, He fills us that we may be saved until He comes. I do not believe that in this parable that gives us four different types of soil, that in any way I should say, see, only a small percentage are going to be saved. Uh-uh. I think every soul that receives a baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is the intent of God that every soul 100% stay in the church and stay in the plan of God. If you've ever felt His touch, I want you to be assured of the fact my God will fight all of the powers of hell to keep you saved. He will fight that you will not walk out of the church. And there will be times if you ever do, and I told you I want to preach it the way God desires it tonight. If you ever leave this church, you will be guaranteed that you are going to leave by sidestepping many attempts of God to keep you in the church, to keep you saved. There isn't anything on this earth, nothing, that should be strong enough, powerful enough, to cause me to lose out with God and lose what He's given me. We've expressed it. We've lifted our hands. We've had facial expressions to God about how we love Him. Is that love sufficient to keep me? Is His love for me able to withstand storms? I think it is if I desire it to be. It is not a matter that it's up to God. No, friend. It's up to me. If I make it, I make it because I made my mind up. I'm living for God. I am not going to let anybody or anything shake me loose from this. All I plan on doing, if the Lord tarries, a lot of people trying to decide when the Lord's coming. They don't know any more about it than any of the rest of us know about it. If He comes this year, fine, I'm going to go. If He waits 10 years, fine. All I plan on doing is drawing closer to God. I want to see more of God and feel more of God Hallelujah. But when it is, when it happens, I'm going. I'm going in it. Now, in this particular parable, Jesus gives us one of the four types of soil. He said some fell among stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith, quickly, they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. Everyone receives the same Holy Ghost. The same. Have you ever heard someone say, well, they must not have got the Holy Ghost I got? I've heard that. That's silly. I didn't know there were diversities of the Holy Ghost. I didn't. No one's ever told me that. All I've ever found was the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Everyone receives the same Spirit of God. When that soul opens up to God in repentance, and then they are baptized in His name, and the sins are washed away, when His Spirit fills, friend, you can guarantee it's the identical Spirit that they received on the day of Pentecost, and for the last almost 2,000 years, no one has received a different type of Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of phony baloney that's going around, but that's not the Holy Ghost. But when you're talking about the genuine, it's the same. And it is given for one reason, to keep you, to give you power to overcome. He has given us what we need to be overcomers. Hallelujah. Now the soil types that He is in reference to represents the hearts of men. It is not for discussion or for debate. Was the seed right? The seed's always good. It's not a matter of, is there something wrong with the Spirit of God? No. The Spirit of God is always where it needs to be. It is the Spirit of God. And let me caution you just for a moment tonight. Please never, I mean never, find fault with the Spirit of God. Never point a finger at the Spirit of God and say, I don't think this should be done, or I don't think that should be done, or God, I don't understand this. Let us let God run the show, and let us let God direct my life, and let us... I know a family in my dad's church that, and I don't want to get into details about it, but their father passed away. Their father used to be in the church, and their father, and God forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, but their father was one of the biggest scoundrels I've ever been around in my life. I mean, I didn't enjoy being around him. And when he was in the church, he wanted to be the main note of the church. Everybody, look at me. But when he was out, he was the main note for the other guy's church. Talking about Slewfoot. This guy just lived like the devil. And I don't want to get into details, but if you want to imagine it, you're not imagining enough of how bad he was. When the fella got sick, his family started to pray. And so most of the kids lost out with God because Dad. Every time Dad would get out, the church was no good, the preacher was no good, the Sunday school teacher was no good, no one was no good, everybody was a low-down wretch but me. Well, he drew his kids out of church. So the kids that were out of church tried to pray for the dad that was out of church, and when God didn't heal them, you know who the kids blamed? God. They started pointing fingers at the church and coming to the church and saying, we don't understand why God could be so mean and so cruel and so ugly and so anything. First of all, God knows what God is doing. I've got to convince myself of that. I can never question what God may do. If I die and for some reason I go to hell, let me be sure of this one fact. God tried to save me. God did everything in His power to keep me. God tried to steer me away from the whatever it was that was drawing me away from God. He did all He knew to do to save me. And if I die lost, and if I go to a sinner's hell, I will sidestep everything that God tried to do for me to keep me safe. Now here you have seed that was planted. The problem was there wasn't enough earth. The Lord said it. Jesus said, not much earth. But you know, I think it is kind of... I've always pictured this parable as, you know, the sower just out and he just scattering seed anywhere. You know, who cares where it goes? Just throw it out. Let it fall anywhere. I don't know if the Lord really plants seed that way. I think that seed is given to people who are desiring something from God. Now, I think it's good for me to see that He even threw seed in this case, and I don't want to talk about any of the other, but He sowed seed in a place where He knew there was not much earth. He knew, in His own words, there was no deepness of earth, but yet He threw seed there. There are some people who receive the Holy Ghost when they first come in, they don't know anything about it. They come in shallow, and they're ready to shout. You know, if you're having church and someone drops a songbook, they're jumping up there, woo! And I don't care what you say or what you do, you can say, Jesus is good. And I preached a revival in one of those churches. And I mean to tell you, every time anything was said, that church was running and they were going. They walked in, the first thing they did, Brother Chris, they took their shoes off. They had their shoes lined under the pews, and the reason was they were going to run. And when the pianos, when they come to play, and the reason all this whole church of 150 people were less than 6 months old in the Lord. Now, oh God, would I love to have some of those problems with having about 150 six-month-old babies in the Lord to slow down instead of trying to speed some of us up. But when the piano started, they said, let's turn the page so-and-so, I'll fly away. And I promise you, when the piano went blump, they all went blump. And before they got to the second word, they were all going around and the whole congregation was just a running and going. And now, you know, I think my own personal feeling, I think they could have slowed down a few gears and maybe enjoyed it a little bit more. But what I'm saying, sometimes when they come in, God in His mercy throws seed, Brother McCoskey, in people that really, there's not a lot of earth under them. Spiritually. But God puts seed in hopes that there will get some earth under them. That there's the possibility. Some of us sitting here tonight, when you came into this church, you came in on an excitement. Not because of the knowledge of it. It was strictly, there was something exciting that brought you to the altar. Something thrilling. I feel something in this church I've never felt. You didn't understand the mighty God in Christ. You didn't understand all of the ins and the outs of the apostolic doctrine. But it was that excitement that brought you. But through the years, through the teaching, the earth began to come underneath you. And you're here tonight, not shallow, because God in His love sowed some seed your way when you really didn't know what it was all about. But the Lord said, now everything else was just right. The seed was right. It did grow. There was life. Now, the only problem was there wasn't enough earth to keep it. And then it goes on, it said when the sun was up. And this is where souls get in trouble. When the sun was up, everything was fine until it got hot and dry. Everything was fine while they were shooting up and they were growing. But it's Jesus said that the young tender plants, in verse 6, He said, they were scorched when the sun got up. You see, it does us little good to have verse 5. They sprang up. If we're going to have verse 6, they withered away. It doesn't do me any good to shout around an altar if you receive the Holy Ghost tonight and a week from now you don't even know what the name of God is. To say I received something, my, look what's happened, but then to go on and say I withered away. I don't believe that that is the plan of God. I don't think that's what God intends. God does not want any one of you in this building walking out on God. You see, the sun is always going to come up.
The sun represents problems, trials, tests. The sun is always going to come up. It's always going to get hot. There's always going to be the time that I'm questioning. I don't know if I can go another step. I'm so dry. I'm so thirsty. But what I have to know is the seed was planted in me. There was something God saw in me that He put His seed in me. And I am going to hold on. Come to church if you need be, dry and thirsty, but come to church. You come into the house of God, weary with the life's problems, but come to the house of God. You may find yourself feeling as though you're dragging yourself to church, but get to the house of God and let God nourish your tender soul. And it doesn't matter how long I've been in the church, there are times that every one of us, there's times every one of us feel as though I don't feel as strong as I used to feel in God. I don't feel. Let me say something. There is a danger as I see it. We're dealing with soil. There is a danger after I've received the Spirit of God, and it can be a year, or it could be years. But it is possible to have a spiritual soil erosion through the storms of life. Storms beat at the soil that hold my root system. And through the years, and sometimes slowly it happens. It's not an overnight process. But the winds blow and blow the dirt away, and the rains come and wash the dirt away. And if there's not a replenishing of that soil, if there's not somehow a way of bringing it back and setting my feet down on deeper soil, even though I may have been in the church for years, I cannot, unnoticed to me, I can find myself to be the one that doesn't have much earth under him. I'm not standing on what I need to stand on. And then all of a sudden the problem's going to come at the wrong time. The problems are going to shoot against me. I'm going to have a catastrophe in my life, and the sun's going to beat down, and I wonder why I'm having such a struggle. When, oh my, I remember it used to be so easy to live for God. You had more soil under you. If it's been a while since you have replenished the soil, you may be standing in a position tonight where there's not a lot of deepness of earth under you. If it's been a while since you've talked to your God in a spiritual manner and cried out, God, I need more of you. Not just because someone asked you to, but because you feel it in your heart. God, I need you. God, I don't know. I don't feel I'm where I ought to be, God. I don't feel like I'm doing what I ought to do for you, God. God, something within me tells me I need you. And it is during those times, if you do not answer what you feel in your heart, you're going to find yourself on shallow ground. Not much earth. And I promise you, God knows this is the truth. The devil is going to see to it that the sun's going to come up. The problems are going to come. The trials are going to beat on you. And you're going to find yourself beginning to wither away. But first of all, what happens? You lose the desire to blossom for God. You lose the desire to open up your petals and just say to God be the glory. You lose your desire to wake every morning and say, I'm so glad God keeps me alive. You lose your desire to lift your hands to God and sing out, God means everything to me. If you used to have a desire that cried, I love to worship God. If there used to be something that would pull the tears out of your eyes, but for some time that's been silent. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you're not just getting older. It's not, well, the years of time. No, I'm afraid that if you're not careful, you're allowing the erosion of the soil to get you. And unless you wake up to the situation, you're going to find yourself in not much deepness of earth. Amen. Naaman, not going into the story of Naaman. He was a leprous man who went to the Samaria to receive a healing, as we understand. And it is during this particular healing, after he received his healing, that he approached Elisha. And after Elisha refused to take payment, then Naaman looked at Elisha and he said in verse 17, he said, "Shall not then there be given, I pray thee, to thy servant, 2 mules burden of earth?" All Naaman was wanting was to take 2 mules, loaded as heavy as they could get with earth. Because he said, from now on, he said, when I go back home, said, anytime I worship, said, I'm going to stand on Israel soil. I'm going to pour out some earth in my land. But the earth I'm going to pour out is going to be Israel earth, God's earth. Naaman said, for now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And what Naaman was wanting to do in all reality, he said, I want to spread the earth over a piece of Syrian ground, and thereby I'm going to hollow ground for purposes of worship. I am going to put earth underneath me. I am going to stand on ground to worship God. I am going to build my life up that I am closer to God. I refuse to allow situations to take me away from God. I refuse to allow problems to take me of my worship and my praise to God. I refuse to let anything rob me of what I once had in God. God, give me more earth. God, give me deepness of earth that I can stand on hollow ground. Hallelujah. You see, the danger is, if I do not replenish the ground that I stand on in God, I'm going to die. The Holy Ghost was never given for the intention of just forcing me to live for God. I don't even like, when it comes to the church, I don't like the church to be convicted, to say, well, you're convicted if you're not at church. I think there ought to, personally, I think there ought to be a Holy Ghost in me that says, this is where I get my nourishment. There isn't anything on the face of the earth I love any more than what I'm doing right now. Come into worship God. I worship God in Arkadelphia with 10 and 12 people. And I'll be, if I'm going to let the devil rob me, running 100 or better now, and say, now I don't know if I can worship God or not. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to love God. And when I don't feel like it, this is where a lot of us miss out, when I don't feel like it. That's when I need to the most. When I walk in and I'm tired and I'm weary and I don't know why, but I just don't feel like lifting my hands. That's when I need to lift my hands the most and say, God, I'm going to love you. Put earth underneath me. God, put some spiritual ground underneath my feet. I want to stand for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. You see, the Lord told Moses at the burning bush, He said, the ground you're standing on, it's holy ground. We're not talking about just anything. We're talking about spiritual ground. Why do you think God allows us